Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi and good morning. I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer. Yesterday, New Jersey Governor John Corzine signed a law to allow forced outpatient treatment of those with serious mental illness. Naturally, this raises a lot of questions, like who decides when someone can't make decisions about treatment for him or herself. Phil Lubitz, the director of advocacy programs for the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, New Jersey, attended the signing ceremony, and he joins me now. Maybe it's NAMI.
It's NAMI, Mike.
All right, I got that one. Hello, Mr. Lubitz. How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me.
So explain, how would the law work? I guess the first question that comes to mind are what safeguards are built in?
Well, when we first say what the law really does, in New Jersey, like every state, there's always been a law in the books that allowed people to be involuntarily committed to psychiatric treatment. In New Jersey, that involuntary treatment had only been to an inpatient hospital. So really what the real difference in this law is that it allows for a less restrictive alternative to treatment. So a person who was deemed in need of treatment and who was refusing treatment would be evaluated by a psychiatric screener and a psychiatrist. Determination would be made that they need involuntary treatment. And then there would be an option. They could either go to an inpatient unit, one of our state hospitals, or in this instance, now that this law is passed, they could be enrolled in an outpatient program.
And typically, who would be saying this person it needs the treatment, perhaps involuntarily? The families of those mentally ill people?
No, actually, in New Jersey, for more than 20 years, we've had a system set up where they're essentially psychiatric emergency rooms, where they're individuals with mental health degrees who've been certified as psychiatric screeners, and they would first see the individual. If they deem that the person may be in need of this kind of treatment, then the person would be a psychiatrist would be consulted. That psychiatrist would make the determination that the person is in need of that sort of treatment.
In news articles describing what the bill was, it described the provision that we're talking about today this way. There is a clash over patient civil liberties versus a community's right to safety. Do you agree with that characterization? How would you put it?
No, I think that is a good way to put it. It's always a very delicate balancing act because, we are taking away someone's civil liberties. In fact, the strongest would be when that person is sent to a hospital. We seem to feel that an outpatient commitment, although it is restrictive of someone's liberties, is still less restrictive than being sent to a hospital. At the same time, there's a long-established right in the United States that the government has a responsibility to step in and take care of people who are unable to take care of themselves. A really good example is, say, homelessness in New York. When the temperature reaches a certain temperature, the city steps in and decides that it's unsafe for people to be living out on the street and then moves people into shelters. So they're depriving their liberty in a certain way. But at the same time, they're exercising government's responsibility to take care of people who are unable to take care of themselves.
Not to in any way imply that mentally ill people don't have rights and don't have civil liberties, but is there a sort of wrinkle when trying to conceptualize this concept of civil liberties if we're talking about a person who is not in charge of their faculties?
Well, I think that really is the key. I mean, the law is pretty specific about those instances in which a person, would be deprived of these certain liberties. And basically, it's if they are a danger to themselves or others, unable to meet their needs for nourishment, or in this case, suffering from severe psychiatric deterioration.
And how many levels of safeguards are there? How many people have to sign off before? And are there advocates for the mentally ill within the system who could perhaps take up their cause and say, you know, maybe treatment or outpatient treatment isn't warranted in this case?
Well, you know, these are court-ordered, so they're civil proceedings. So, you know, a person with mental illness who was subject to this treatment would have access to all of the safeguards that are available in our civil system. So there are public defenders. The person goes through a series of court hearings as well.
I know New York State has something called Kendra's Law, which was passed and named after Kendra Webdell, who was tragically pushed onto the tracks by a mentally ill individual. Did New Jersey look at that, how that law is working in New York as a model?
Well, I think the success of Kendra's Law went a long way in convincing people that this would be something that would be worth having in New Jersey. So although our procedures are a bit different, in New Jersey, we've pretty much stayed to establish precedent in these screening procedures and involuntary commitment. The results in terms of reduced incarceration, reduced hospitalization, reduced homelessness in New York are so dramatic that I think that would a long way in making this a law that was passed without opposition in the New Jersey legislature.
Our number is 212-433-9692. If you have any firsthand experience with the issue we're talking about, perhaps a mentally ill relative, or maybe you went through the system yourself who had to be involuntarily, I don't want to use the verb committed, but given outpatient treatment. What's the right verb? What should we say? We shouldn't say committed, right?
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. What about funding? Because one of the Deputy Human Services Commissioner, Deputy Human Services Commissioner Kevin Martrone wrote a letter to one of the bill's sponsors, and it asked the committee to respectfully consider the financial consequences of implementing this legislation, given the fiscal emergency New Jersey is facing. So there's a law in the books. Is New Jersey going to be able to fund the law?
Well, you know what? As an advocate for mental health treatment, I'm never going to say that we're adequately funding mental health services. And I'm going to line up with Commissioner Martone and really press the legislature and the governor to come up with additional funding as well. With that said, New Jersey, since the governor's task force, Governor Cody's task force 4 years ago, has added about $70 million into mental health funding. In fact, with the fiscal situation in this current year, we've just added $5 million for more mental health treatment. This bill doesn't really take effect for another year, so it'll be funded out of the budget that would be adopted next July. I think yesterday's signing, Governor Corzine said that he is confident that there is adequate money in the budget to fund these services.
And what's the status of the state? I think there was a lawsuit over lack of outpatient treatment options for the mentally ill, and from what I understand, hundreds of patients currently confined to the state's psychiatric hospitals were ordered to be released in the next few years. Is that what's going on?
In New Jersey, there was just a suit under the Supreme Court Olmstead decision, and it had to do with a number of individuals who had been deemed ready for discharge, but for whom there weren't adequate community services for them. So I think although there are at any given time probably 1,000 people that meet that criteria in New Jersey, there's probably a group I think was identified just under 300 who had been on that status for over a year. Many of those people had particular problems, co-occurring medical conditions that made them ineligible for some of the services that existed. So with that, there has been $5 million in this fiscal year that was just approved that will be going to provide community services for those individuals.
Let's take a call. I think, James, in Queens, you work in the field?
Yes, I am a family advocate, and I'm involved with people from children through adults. When the individual has a mental illness and needs to be brought in. And it's a variety of things. And the problem I have and all the people on mobile crisis units have is that, especially if the person is over the age of 18, when brought in, if he doesn't want to stay or she doesn't want to stay, they have to be released unless they pose an imminent, and this is the crucial word, imminent threat to self or others. So if the person has been suicidal or homicidal in the past, and it doesn't look as though he's about to commit either of those acts, he is turned away from the psych ER if the resident. I'm also, by the way, a member of NAMI myself, so I have a lot of experience with this. And
yeah, James,
can I comment as well?
You know, James really puts his finger on one of the real problems that existed here in New Jersey. And as it turns out, and this bill actually, one of the things it does is clarify that New Jersey's law, although had been interpreted to mean that a person had to be imminently dangerous, the law actually said that a person had to be dangerous in the reasonably foreseeable future. So with that interpretation, and the law clarifies that, it allows someone to intervene sooner in the process before a person so seriously deteriorates. So the law also states that a person who is then imminently dangerous is only eligible for that inpatient kind of commitment, but it will permit mental health treatment to be given to people who are dangerous in the reasonably foreseeable future, just like the person James described, a person who has a history of eventually becoming dangerous because of their mental illness. You could really intervene a lot sooner.
Thanks for the call, James. And what I know there's a gradual phase in. Certain counties will be, the law affects them first, then maybe it'll go statewide probably. But do we have any idea how many, when it does go statewide, how many people will be affected by this law?
Yeah, the belief is that when it's fully functioning, that there going to be approximately 400 individuals who would be affected by this law at any given time.
And of those 400, the change in terminology that you just discussed between imminently and reasonable future, all 400 would be affected by that, or just a very small percentage?
You know, I would think all of them, those 400, you know, because people who are imminently dangerous, people who, you know, were evaluated and the belief is that and right now they are likely, they're going to be dangerous or they had just been dangerous.
Right.
You know, those people really should be in an inpatient unit for both their safety and the safety of the community.
Got it. The imminently dangerous were already taken care of by the existing laws. Kate from Hoboken, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC.
Hi. I have, I'm a clinical social worker. I've supervised inpatient psychiatric units in Hudson County and have done all kinds of other work more ad hoc on the street with chronically mentally ill in my community. And this is a very tricky law. And in my experience, there needs to be major overhaul of the outpatient services that are available to the chronically mentally ill. And that is really what needs to be taken a very close look at. Oftentimes, people who veer into being a danger to themselves or others go into an inpatient unit. And at least in my experience, the outpatient services that are available to them that could sustain them and help them get back on track and stabilized are just not happening. So while I agree with some parts of the spirit of this law, I think that there really needs to be a very close look at making the outpatient services and sometimes the on-the-street mobile crisis unit stuff much more supported, because that's where it's going to really happen to help these folks be able to live managing their mental illnesses with dignity in the community.
All right, let's put it to Phil Lubitz. What about that?
You know, I think Kate's 100% right on that. I think we really do need to continue to do jobs and job and improving those community services that are available. You know, of that $70 million, it's new money that's been put into mental health. About $12 million has gone into those mobile screening services. But, boy, we sure could use more. So, you know, I'm going to agree with Kate on that.
All right. Thank you for the call, Kate. And thank you, Phil Lubitz, the Director of Advocacy Programs at the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, of New Jersey. Thank you very
much. Thanks, Mike.
Phil.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.